Hi, the first reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The second reading is taken from Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we just say a quick prayer for Janet before she talks to us about those passages? Heavenly Father, we lift you, Janet, this morning as she talks to us about the passages that we've just heard. We just thank you for the gifts you've given her. And we just ask that you be with her this morning. Guide her, give her wisdom and your words to talk to us. We also pray that you can open our ears and hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Pixon. Thank you ever so much for reading. That was actually the Epistle and Gospel for Sunday. That's just gone. Oh, it is so wonderful to see you again. It's just so lovely. Let's make the most of it. We have no idea how long this will last. We are waiting for further government advice, but we're fairly sure places of worship will be exempt from the new 30 down to 6 ruling, but we'll all find out this afternoon. Who knows? We don't know. As you know, there's been this rise in cases because they say people have been socialising, people have been behaving badly. And we've seen some of this bad behaviour. We've seen large groups of people congregating together, just not really caring. But we've also seen some fantastically good behaviour. So in the last 6 months, 6 months since we met, I have seen selfless dedication and service. I have seen and heard of doctors and nurses who have gone in every day and done their job. We've seen people driving lorries, keeping our food supply going. I've seen people in my local Sainsbury's every single day of this pandemic, there they are serving us food. I've seen and experienced people ringing up to find out how we are. I've seen and heard about people posting cards to other people. People connecting with one another. For those of us that are online, we've learnt how to meet together on Zoom. We've learnt how to pray and worship by watching a service live. We've learnt how to use that mute button key. So we've seen so many examples of brilliant behaviour, but we've also, in the last 6 months, seen examples of bad behaviour. And today's epistle and gospel from Sunday are actually about behaviour within a church context. How do we relate to one another? There was not a pandemic when it was written, but we can still apply Jesus's teaching today. So there's got to be 3 points, of course. We've got to love one another. We've got to sort out those problems. And we've got to come together in agreement and pray together. Love one another, sort out problems, agree and pray together. So Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. It's written within the context of submitting to the governing authorities and paying taxes. But Paul reminds us to love one another. He reminds us, don't commit adultery or murder or steal or covet, but love your neighbour as yourself. Verse 9, love your neighbour as yourself. And then he goes on to say, love does no harm to a neighbour. Love does no harm to a neighbour. So that's why in love we wear masks. That's why in love we respect people by keeping that 2 meter distance. I am so tempted to go up to a lot of you and hug you, but I'm really sorry I can't, because I love you, I respect you, I'm not going to do that. So how does loving one another work when we are all in this unique lockdown situation? By not doing harm, by respecting those laws and restrictions. One of the laws of the Church of England is we can only give communion as bread in one kind. We can't do bread and wine. So we respect that law. But loving one another, it means keeping in touch. Even when you get tired, 6 months on, some of us are tired. Do I still need to ring that person? Do I still need to join that Zoom meeting? Do I still need to post them a card? Yes, love is practical. Love one another. Love offers to go shopping for one another. Love means I will drive or walk to an outside space where I can meet you. Love says, how can I help you? Love drops off flowers for other people. Somebody recently came to visit me and she just brought me a bunch of flowers. I was so touched. I thought, I don't deserve these flowers, but they like brightened up my room. They brightened up the whole place, just the act of some flowers. Love drops off a cream tea for others. And it's so good hearing how much people enjoyed receiving those cream teas. And by the way, I was the one who did the Bible quiz in it. So if anyone is stuck on finding those books of the Bible, some of you know what I'm talking about, come and ask me if I can still remember where they are. How can we practice loving one another in a pandemic situation? Love one another. The second bit of advice is sorting out problems. And this is where we go to Matthew 18, Sunday's Gospel. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. So Matthew's talking about the Christian community, how Christian brothers and sisters relate to one another. And he gives this really practical advice on sorting things out. And he starts by saying, do it quietly, one on one. Then it stops rumours and misunderstandings multiplying if you just try quietly to reason with someone in private. But please be tactful. I get quite sensitive if people point out my faults to me. So do it nicely. But do try and sort out problems. Pretending there isn't a problem, papering over the cracks, is unwise, because then we get angry inside and it festers inside us. So Jesus says, go and sort things out just between the two of you. But Jesus knows sometimes we don't listen to one another, and so you need evidence or witnesses. And he talks about getting 2 or 3 witnesses. He's referring back to the guidelines in Deuteronomy 19 about having the evidence, the law of evidence, 2 or 3 witnesses. And then finally, Jesus says, take the problem wider to the church or the ecclesia, the local community of believers, as a last resort. Love involves forgiveness. It involves understanding. It's putting oneself in someone else's shoes. I am so quick to see things from my point of view and not your point of view. So how do we behave? Do we fire off emails immediately to people or talk first? Do we make a sharp, pointed, barbed remark? Or do we face it openly? The aim is reconciliation. The aim is to keep us in Christian community. So we're called to love one another. We're called to sort out our problems face to face. And finally, we're told to agree together and pray. Matthew 18 talks about if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask, anything, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. It's part of this same passage on Christian communities, and two or three gathering mirrors those two or three witnesses needed for evidence. The promise is Jesus will be present as disciples seek unity in making decisions, as we come to agreement in prayer about something, as we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. His presence will be with us and it will be done for them. But we need to agree in prayer. So during lockdown, we've moved to having a weekly Wednesday morning prayer meeting on Zoom. So this morning at 9 o'clock, I think there are about 13, 14 of us praying together. Every Thursday during lockdown on Zoom at 8 o'clock, there's been again a small group praying for the Renew project, which is starting on Monday. On Monday, finally. That's good, isn't it? And we were in agreement. Let's pray for that chancellor to grant that faculty. And it was granted. And so we praise God. It's quite easy just to pray what we want rather than to seek what does Jesus want? What is his will? If we're praying in his name, it must be something that he would want. What is his will in that situation? Let's pray according to his will. When two or three come together and agree, I'm going to give you one bit of Greek. Barbara will tell me if I've pronounced it properly or not. Barbara, symphonio. Near enough. Thank good enough, she said. Symphonia, from which we get symphony and orchestra to come together and agree. And in an orchestra, you have lots and lots of different instruments, but they play in the same key and there is harmony. It sounds wonderful together. And it's a bit like that when we pray. You've got a whole lot of different people. Some of us pray very formally, some of us very informally. Some of us say, O God, some of us say, Father, some of us say, O Jesus, some of us say nothing, some of us say something really loudly. But when we are in agreement, when we come together, Jesus is here. He hears, he answers our prayers. But remember, he's here, which actually means he can look inside and see what we are thinking, what we are believing. God answers the united prayers of a praying group of people. So, behaviour during a pandemic, during a lockdown. There's been this great interest in church, surprisingly. God has used it for his good, and more people are looking online, or there's been this renewed interest in spiritual matters. But people who wouldn't normally come to church, they then start looking at the Christians they know, and they look at their behaviour. And they say, is that a good example? Are they a good and faithful witness? They're interested now, a lot of people, in Jesus, in God. But then they start looking at one another and thinking, oh, I know that Christian. They're really good at loving one another. So do we love one another? Do we have love for our neighbour? Do we demonstrably do no harm to our neighbour? Do we sort things out where there's a disagreement? Do we gather evidence first before we judge others? Do we agree about what to bring to God in prayer? And do we trust he is here with us now? Let's just be quiet and think about those things. What is God saying to me about my behavior during this lockdown? How can we love one another, sort out things? How can we agree and pray together? Let's just be quiet, and then Lizette will come and lead us on.